I've seen a very, very concerning video of an airport where someone has pretended or put the impression that they were actual Wi-Fi service at an airport. And as soon as you've logged into that, that person's able to track your every movement on your phone, be that you entering your bank account details or you opening up some chat with some friends. Hacking of email has got a lot more sophisticated. It goes down to the old adage, have you got a significant virus protection system in place or what level of security do you have on your platform? That varies again if you're actually operating out of an office or if you're operating out of home. And obviously, particularly in the real estate space, a lot of people are very mobile in what they're doing, and a lot of the real estate agents do operate from home. So you could have a very, very adequate protection mechanism in the office, but when Lee's operating from home that evening and just logged on through his system that he hasn't got that protection around, that's where emails can be hacked.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Technology, it's a great enabler in improving workflow and increasing productivity and making the process easy for consumers. The future is now, and the best real estate businesses are staying ahead of the pack by combining the best of the human element with the best of technology. But at times, technology needs to come with a bit of a warning label, because with the increase in online transactions, there has also been an increase in the stories we wish we didn't have to hear about money accidentally going to scammers who are now more clever than ever. So my guest this week is Lee Bailey, General Manager of Product and Innovation at Infotrack, an award-winning technology company that provides an integrated platform allowing clients to find, analyse, organise and communicate information efficiently and effectively. Armed with over 10 years' experience with some of Australia's largest and most advanced legal and conveyancing operators, Lee has previously held leadership roles within the media, financial and aviation industries. You may already know of Infotrack for facilitating secure signatures and document management, but they have just released a new product called Secure Exchange, which helps to prevent identity fraud and keep info safe. So welcome to the podcast, Lee Bailey.
Thanks very much, Sam.
So let's talk cybersecurity. What are the biggest cyber threats you're seeing facing real estate businesses right now? Because there have been a lot of stories, particularly in the past year.
Yes, they have. And I think we've recognised that over the last 12 months. A lot of our client base is within the legal and conveyancing industry, and so obviously very closely linked to the property market through real estate agents. And in those concerns, we had a number of our clients raise those challenges with us. What should they do? The actual threats within that industry and within the environment seem to be centered around email hacking or phishing, as it can be known as well, or people impersonating people that they actually aren't. So maybe if I just talk about those three, people impersonating people that they actually aren't has happened for a little while, you know, so Nigerian princess and tenant might pretend to own a property. So there's some simple measures that real estate agents can put in place to ensure that they are selling a property for the right vendor. And that can just be doing appropriate due diligence, proof of verification, verification of identity, and checking titles to see that people are actually on titles. But what we're seeing a definite increase in over the last 12 months is that of the fraud around cybersecurity. Specifically within that, either people's emails being hacked and fraudulent information being provided. And within that, the most common theme we're seeing is changing of bank account details. So that is a BSB and an account number. And as you can imagine, whether that was a settlement fund or whether that was a deposit fund, depending on the size of the property, that could be very significant.
So how easy is it for my email to be hacked?
Depending on the skill set of the person intending to do that, it could be hard or it could be very, very easy. The challenge we have now is we connect to our devices in so many ways, and we do that all over the place. Mm. So I've seen a very, very concerning video of an airport where someone has pretended or put the impression that they were actual Wi-Fi service at an airport. And as soon as you've logged into that, that person's able to track your every movement on your phone, be that you entering your bank account details or you opening up some chat with some friends. Hacking of email has got a lot more more sophisticated. It goes down to the old adage, have you got a significant virus protection system in place, or what level of security do you have on your platform? That varies again if you're actually operating out of an office or if you're operating out of home. And obviously, particularly in the real estate space, a lot of people are very mobile in what they're doing, and a lot of the real estate agents do operate from home. So you could have a very, very adequate protection mechanism in the office, but when Lee's operating from home that evening and just logged on through his system that he hasn't got that protection around, that's where emails can be hacked.
And the other thing too is we all imagine the avatar of a hacker being some teenager in a black hoodie, hunched over a computer with not too many social skills. But in actual fact, the avatar of a hacker is much different these days, isn't it? So how sophisticated are these hackers these days?
You're absolutely 100% correct. And it's actually to some degree quite scary. So I personally know stories in our own organization where people have known the movements of our CEO, known that our CEO was getting on a plane, and they have sent emails impersonating our CEO to our CFO, asking for certain amounts of funds to be transferred to certain bank accounts to pay suppliers, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we're quite well-versed in this, so we have a lot of measures and checks and balances in place to avoid that. But if you're not, and it's the first time, you know, and it looks like you've just received an email from your principal to ask, can we just get this sorted out pretty quickly, you may very quickly jump into that because it says Lee Bailey and you actually read the Lee Bailey in the first line and don't see that it actually said, doesn't say InfoTrack, it says InfoTrack app, blah, 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 blah. Mm. So the hackers are becoming very sophisticated. The second part to that is they actually know the processes we're talking about. They know the process of selling property. And we know this 100% because we've spoken to our clients and our clients have said, it's just odd that they wait until I've got three settlements occurring in a day. Those settlements happen to all be for millions of dollars in transactions. So they're obviously monitoring emails and they're actually able to do that. And there is occasions where they can do that for up to weeks or months, waiting till the appropriate point to pounce. And that's when they'll actually move on that to look for those deposits that are being transacted and all settlements.
That is pretty smart. There's probably some people listening to this podcast right now that are thinking that will never happen to me, but it has happened in several scenarios. There was a very famous case last year with settlement money for a property going somewhere else. Yeah. So what are some of the things, to your knowledge, that have happened out there just to everyday real estate agents from not picking up these phishing emails?
There have been a number of examples, and I won't get into the specifics of who and where, but to talk at a high level about three examples that we've heard of. So one in its simplest format is a deposit for a property, which was $90,000. And the email was actually intercepted by the hackers going to the purchaser. They provided the incorrect bank account details. Purchaser very unwillingly just paid the money, $90,000 at their bank. And lo and behold, I think it was 24 to 72 hours later, the agent said, you're going to lose this property if you don't pay this. So no one would have known. And that is far too late. The funds have gone missing and they can't be tracked. The second was an example in Victoria where the purchaser believed to have actually had a follow-up email from the agent where the agent said, if you pay X amount more, the vendor is willing to drop the price. So once the deposit had been paid, they received this, again, unwillingly. These are purchases who go through this transaction once every 7 to 10 years, so they're very unknowing about what may be occurring, paid that funds. No one actually discovered that for 45 days.
Because the language is just so natural, isn't it?
Correct. They're talking about the conveyancing process. They're talking about the deposit process. They're talking about the exchange process. These are people who are very well educated. And the final example, which was, again, was slightly different, was a email that was actually sent, and the email looked exactly the same as the one the purchaser had received literally 22 minutes beforehand, just with the wording, sorry, I sent you the wrong bank details. Can you make sure this is paid into this one? That's it. Still looked like it was from Joe Bloggs at this real estate agency. And again, lo and behold, someone would have just thought, fat fingers, they made a wrong typo and put the wrong detail down, and that was changed, and that could have been funds that have gone missing. So it's being aware of those and talking to your clients. We see very much now with a lot of the professional bodies in the legal and conveyancing, they are telling their clients, so being the conveyancers and the lawyers, you must phone your client and tell them the details across the phone. But again, you don't get hold of the client, they don't call you back, time starts to slip away. Obviously, time's of the essence in most property transactions, so it's a hard one.
And we do rely on email a lot when we can't get a hold of that person via the phone and things like that. Let's just go to consequences for a minute. So if something like that were to happen, a scammer was to infiltrate your email and any of these things happened as you've just described, for example, you accidentally send $90,000 to a scammer, what is the recourse on that?
I'm certainly not providing legal advice to any real estate agents or practitioners or conveyancers out there. But from my point of view, one of the quite concerning elements that we've seen when we've run some focus groups on this across legal and conveyancing and real estate is that 50% of that group we spoke to actually said there isn't a level of cybersecurity fraud that's occurred with them. But of that, only 30% of the group actually reported it. So I suspect right now a lot of people are what I would call self-insuring. They're just getting rid of the problem because the reputational image and impact could be so much more substantial than paying off that $90,000, $70,000. In actually the reporting terms, there are some very clear guidelines around reporting privacy breaches, and I guess that would have to be determined by the individuals in that process. I think it's about having a risk management approach in place in your business, and it doesn't matter if you're a two-man band or you're a 200-person organization. You need to have that risk management approach and think about what that actually means. So firstly, reporting to your insurer, firstly, you're reporting to your professional body that you work with, and then taking the internal checks and balances within your firm to make sure it's not going to happen again.
So what's the solution? You guys have come up with something that actually takes all of that pain away. Tell us a bit about what Secure Exchange is and what it does.
Okay, so Secure Exchange, and I guess before I jump into that, one of my roles within InfoTrack is talking to our clients about the problems they have. This is a genuine problem in the market. Mm. And when we provide the best and build the best products, it's when it's solving a really genuine problem. And so I think what we're seeing right now is there is this huge problem in the marketplace, but it's still only happening to limited people. So what we've built within Secure Exchange is a secure, transparent, and guaranteed platform or product that all parties can come into, and they can actually exchange the details of the financial transaction they're about to participate in. So we're actually not a payment gateway. We're not saying pay into our trust. We are just saying we will facilitate the communication of that financial transaction in a secure environment.
So it's a bit like an online cone of silence.
Yes.
Without sounding too Maxwell smart or anything like that, but all parties can go into this cone of silence, swap bank account details, and it's not like you're sending emails over.
That's spot on. And I haven't called it out in that way, but you're right. That's what it is. So there's three parts to it. The first is the security element. So the first part of the security is we have a multi-factor authentication before anyone could go in that. So I would need to provide your email and your phone number and your name. You would actually get the email, the requirement to join, but then I also would send you a code to your phone number. So you can't actually just get in with an email. So we can't be hacked through that. And you can't just get in with a phone number. You have to have both. The second part is we verify all the professional parties in that environment. So you as the real estate agent are verified, the vendor's lawyer or conveyancer is verified, and so is the purchaser's lawyer or conveyancer. So we're really looking to say, if you're a professional party in that, you should be verified. The purchaser and vendor slightly different, but we want to make sure that when we invite the purchaser in to see the bank account details they can pay the deposit to, they know who they're paying to. The second part is around transparency. So the other part aligned to that of the security is people want to know where they stand at this point. Did you receive the deposit? If you not received the deposit, have we exchanged? Have we not exchanged? And we're really trying to bring some clarity to that. And in solving the problem of the security measures around deposit, I also think we can actually take to provide some transparency. And that's just peace of mind of giving people comfort. I can tell my real estate agent and my lawyer that I've paid the deposit, and the real estate agent can come straight back to me and say the deposit has been received and you can now exchange. That's great. Right now, I can tell you there's nearly a dozen ways that exchanges take place all across New South Wales. That, again, differs in Queensland, and that, again, differs in Victoria. So we're trying to bring some level of synergy and consistency to that. And the third element that's certainly been very well received by the real estate agents in the market is the guarantee. So again, to your point earlier, Sam, is, you know, it will never happen to me. Well, that's okay. But if we can guarantee this transaction, and as long as you input your details correctly the first time for your bank account, which is your trust account, and we verify that and we check that, and there's some steps we go through to do that, you're not going to change your trust account too often.
No.
So therefore, it doesn't change. We can actually provide that to the purchaser, not for one property, but for multiple properties when you're going through the transactions. And each time the purchaser uses that environment, we guarantee it. So whether that was $17,000, $170,000, to me, that's a pretty big peace of mind factor for the purchaser.
Absolutely. And particularly, as you were saying before, if agents that have been exposed to these sorts of risks are covering lost funds, if they're covering them themselves, I'm sure that's a small price to pay for a bit of peace of mind there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, particularly at the moment, I always get told off by my general manager of marketing for saying it's free. It's complimentary, I think is the term I'm allowed to use. But I think, like all products that are new to the market, you need to see what the uptake is and you need to get out there. I have a goal of making this really easy for both the conveyancer and the real estate agent. And right now we're looking at new ways that we can actually make that transaction easier and how the communication can occur. So potentially sharing information. The feedback I have got from real estate agents though as well is that you need to make it simple because there's a lot of technology, and I liked your introduction around technology and people. Mm. That's really what we feel we can provide here. But they're also hearing about the next biggest thing in real estate and what's going to save them, what's going to change them, what's going to put them out of business.
Shiny objects.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we've got to make sure it's relevant, I think.
The other thing that just occurred to me while we were talking is obviously the communication part of this is different in different states and it's different across different real estate agents. And look, there are some people that are still handing over checks on auction day and things like that still in this day and age. So how does Secure Exchange speed up the process?
That's a really good peripheral output from what we can do with the security piece. So I was talking to an agent here in Sydney not that long ago who told me he needed to drive 2.5 hours down the road on a Friday night to get the exchange contract completed by the other party's solicitor. If we can help them overcome that, surely that's got to be a good outcome for this. Mm-hmm. And I think the challenges as well, purchasers and vendors go through this once every 7 to 10 years. So to them, it's all very scary and it's very emotional. If we can help them with the clarity and the speed through that process, then the outcomes for all involved will be a much easier one. And I think through having a centralized area where you can actually drop information in, you can show proof of receipt from the bank, oh, I've just transferred this money, it's been received. And that can be done without having to take pictures and emails, because as well as emails, it's also text messaging we need to be aware of that can be intercepted. I think the speed becomes a very, very good output from this product.
What about property management? Does this apply to them as well?
We've been approached by quite a few property management players in the market to ask about it, who've heard about it or been onto the Secure Exchange website and seen it. It wasn't our intention to go to that space, but I think there's no reason why we wouldn't use that same space. The same principles, it's a trust account that doesn't change, so we can actually work on the same principles. The value is of a lesser amount, but again, providing that speed and transparency through the process, particularly when bonds are being paid, I think would actually be a really good outcome for this as well. So it's certainly something we're looking at the moment.
And what else is happening at InfoTracker? Because you guys are sort of on the forefront of security and electronic transactions. What's some of the new things that are coming?
One of the big areas that I focus on at the moment and will continue is talking to the legal and conveyancing and the real estate market about the small incremental changes they can take in their business to start to embrace technology. If we're honest with ourselves, a lot of aspects of legal and conveyancing and real estate has not changed in many, many years. I think that's for a number of reasons. I think there is a little bit around the scare factor, like all of us embracing new technology. I think another piece is, why would you change it? It's working at the moment. I guess what we're showing with Secure Exchange is some elements aren't working, so we do need to look at that. And I think the third part is, it seems so hard to change something that's currently set and embedded in my processes and in my practice management system. And so I think what we're about at InfoTrack is going, okay, well, how can we help you do that? So if, as an example, you're very concerned about electronic settlement in the market as a conveyancer, well, why not come to us and talk to us about a product we have called Settlet, which actually enables you to use an InfoTrack product to actually settle on an electronic platform. So right now, that's only PEXA, and we can settle on PEXA for a number of our clients. The great thing for me is I look at it and go, these are clients that are considering not doing conveyancing going forward. Many of the people that would tune in today to listen to this would know the conveyancing is generally quite a big piece to draw clients in for a lawyer or a conveyancer. And then they talk to them about other services they could offer, wills, power of attorney, so on and so forth. So it's important we still have our traditional lawyers and conveyancers being able to offer this service. And if they are nervous about new technology, work with us at InfoTrack for us to show you how you can actually embrace that. One of the biggest examples I look at, which still scares me, the lack of, I guess, uptake in it, is electronic signature. So we work very closely with DocuSign. We have our own product called SignIt. I've actually spoken to a number of real estate institutions about working with them on our SignIt product. But a lot of the pushback I get is it's not legal in the industry. It has to be a wet signature. And I'm like, it's just not true. But it's obviously that education piece around it and the real estate agent or the conveyancer wanting to do things how they've always been done. And finally, and I talked very briefly at the beginning, is verification of identity. I can tell you 9 times out of 10, I think most people still get a utility bill and they get a copy of the driver's license. Now, the scary thing is you only really need one other document item there to be kept in a manila folder in someone's office for that office to be broken into.
Well, it used to be a video card because that gave you your extra 10 points, but
that's it.
Unfortunately, they've gone out of business.
Yeah. Don't think those Netflix cards just yet.
No.
So I think what we've built within our VOI platform, our verification of identity, is the ability for someone to do that face-to-face. So I could pull out my phone, I can use the VOI product we have, and I could actually VOI you. Or alternatively, I could send it to you directly and you can actually just log on and do it yourself. So what we call DIY VOI. Those documents are then being securely held by us in the cloud. They're not available to anyone else apart from you. There's a restricted access period, but you do get a report that says, yes, we verified and we saw Lee's driver's license, passport, and this address, et cetera, et cetera. So you're really starting to have that information without leaving it sat on someone's desk for someone to come past. I presented once to a group of real estate agents, and quite interestingly, one of the agents turned around and said, Lee, you're actually right. I've got 17 driver's licenses on my phone reel right now. Now, everyone had a bit of a joke about it, but if that phone had been stolen and been able to be opened, that's a really serious security issue for that person.
It's a complex world we live in right now.
Definitely.
Despite that complexity, it just occurred to me too while you were talking that change is hard, because we talk about how change is hard with the sales mindset coaches on this podcast all the time and how to make change easier. But thinking about it, if you want some differentiation from the competition, obviously being able to say, well, look, our office can provide you with fast communication, secure communication, settle quickly, securely, and all that sort of thing. I mean, surely the return on investment of that would kind of outweigh the...
I think you're spot on. That differentiator is almost expected now, I think, by the consumer. And so they probably don't realize a lot that goes on behind the scenes for a real estate agent these days, or a conveyancer or a lawyer. But they do want that piece of going, well, actually, you know what? I don't want to have to come to your office 3 times over the next 2 weeks. I actually just want to be able to do this online. I'm used to doing this online. And wow, if I can do this in a secure environment as well, that ticks a lot of my boxes. The other piece to that I don't think gets considered every day, and I think it was PwC who brought out some stats last year about this, that the impact of cybersecurity fraud has about 40% negative impact on your business. So I don't think there are many businesses out there that can say they can lose nearly half of their business because they have this and they just go, I'm going to roll the dice and take the chances, particularly when there's products out there.
You would feel awful too. I know if it was me and I was hacked, but it could happen to anyone, as we were saying earlier. The business of electronic signatures, so you just touched on that a little while ago, and the problem of everyone saying, well, they're still not legal. Are you in a position to give us a bit of an update on where electronic signatures are at around the country?
So from a legality point of view, I think the last state to embrace electronic signatures was Queensland. So that was completed by the Queensland Law Society last July, I believe, that changes were made there. Prior to that, New South Wales has been able to use electronic signatures, and Victoria. I think it's more so around an education piece that people still believe that it's still a bit of a challenge in using that. And then again, becomes the security risk. People believe that a wet signature witnessed by someone is more secure than that of a electronic signature, not understanding that we can actually see the metadata that sits behind that electronic signature to see what device it was completed on, the IP address where it was completed, the location of where it was completed. And that's certainly elements that we look at. And we joke at InfoTrack about a product we have called verification or verification of identity. So Voivoi for sure. But we can actually look and we can see where that verification was of identity was actually completed. So if it was ever needed in a court of law, we could actually pull up and say that verification of identity was done by this device here on this day and time. And electronic signatures are very much the same.
All of this stuff is super interesting. If there's one thing that you want the guys to remember as a result of listening to this podcast today, what would it be?
I think at the very least, have a look at the Secure Exchange website, create an account there, get verified by us, and just try it once. And if you want to come back to me personally and tell me, Lee, the experience was really poor and I didn't enjoy this didn't work, that's what the feedback I'd like to get. But for the sake of having something in place that's given you that level of protection, really think about that. And there's something right now that's available, it's complimentary, and you can use as of tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave some links in the show notes for everyone so that you can go and have a try of the Secure Exchange platform and start exchanging information in the cone of silence.
That sounds great.
Lee Bailey, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, Sam.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.